This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
The Bible teaches us that if we are committed to Jesus Christ, our lives are going to be different. And that's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful experience that we can have when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and makes us His. We thank you for the redemption that we have in Christ, and we also thank you for the changes that He is able to make in our own lives. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, not only redeeming us, but seeking to sanctify us and make us His both now and forevermore. Bless us in the hearing of your word this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else would take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Friends in Christ, the Bible teaches that if we are committed to Jesus Christ, our lives are going to be different. That is what our text is teaching us. Listen, Peter was well acquainted with many of those churches in his day. Some of them he had started, others he had visited many times. And he looked the congregation over and he saw diversity. He was thankful for the many whose lives were committed to Jesus Christ. But he was also thankful that there were those there who did not yet come to Christ, but nevertheless were seeking him in one way or another. They perhaps had attended these churches, but they were not at all sure what this whole matter of Christianity was truly all about. They had affiliated with the group because their relatives or their friends came, and they wanted to be along with them, and some had become very active. As active people of these little groups, they sometimes had a bad influence. The world had entered the congregations. This disturbed Peter. And you might ask, how do you know this was happening in that early church? Let me tell you what Peter said by reading you the first five verses of the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. Therefore, since he suffered in the body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousings, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Here ends the reading of the scriptures. And these words that I have just read to you from the pen, the inspired pen of Peter, are strong words. Peter had presented the gospel to the people and was anxious to share God's love with them. That was first and foremost. But he emphasized that their sins could not only be forgiven, but if they continue with Christ, they would have a different attitude towards these sins. Never would they be sinless because the old man walked with us, but there would be a desire to overcome those shortcomings that were so contrary to the will of God. We would slip and fall back into some of our old ways, and he would pick them up, Jesus would. Soon their attitude towards their sins would change, and many of them would disappear. Sinners we are, but we dare not rejoice in living in the cesspool of immorality and loving to do which is contrary to the will of God if we confess that we are his. The Bible teaches us that it contains both law and gospel, and each of them has to be preached. In many cases, the congregations began to interpret what the law was and really made quite a mess of it. Let me describe how some of this worked, even in my own childhood, and I'm sure I speak to some of you who can say, yeah, that's the way we had it too. Whether we were Lutherans or Baptists or Methodists or Congregationalists or whatever we were. It says, the law teaches, thou shalt not steal. Now here is man's interpretation in some cases. Gambling is a part of stealing, and gambling is related to playing cards. Therefore, we were taught, thou shalt not play cards. To the best of my knowledge, we never had a deck of cards in our home. I have to confess that my wife and I have had many enjoyable evenings as adults, playing a game of bridge with other couples. But legalism would have prevented that. The Bible teaches that thou shalt not commit adultery. Some interpret dancing as arousing the sexual drives which could lead to adultery. Possibly that's true, I don't know. The fear of this happening gave then another law, a law within a law. Rabbinical stipulations, they used to call it. And it went something like this: thou shalt not dance. The result was that many of us who belonged to a church of that kind could not go to nice times at our high school. The high school where I went, they had freshman reception. But I was not permitted to go because they would dance there. And so consequently, I have never danced a step in my life. Does that make me more holy? The result is that my wife and I decided that after I had retired, we would take some dancing lessons and waltz with one another before we left this world. But then she had the stroke, and she never got the lessons. And sometimes I wished that we could have had that opportunity throughout our married life. I believe that some of those people who danced on the Lawrence Welk show on a Saturday night as they're being replayed were enjoying themselves, and I question whether they were entertaining any impure thoughts. Now that's legalism. And sometimes when you talk about the law, people will say, now you're getting legalistic. And not so, friend. The legalists meant well. They thought their man-made laws would protect God's law from being broken. However, the danger of legalism is that it robs people of their assurance of salvation. They begin to reason that Christ at the cross had paid 99% of what is necessary to be saved, but the sinner has to contribute 1% by keeping this man-made list of do's and don'ts, which he or she is unable to do. And so there was always this question, am I really saved? Because I fall far short. Does it mean that I can just go on living like I always have? No. There is something in between this. I recall that I was way into my second year of college in preparing for the ministry, when a man by the name of Theodore Grebner came to our campus for Spiritual Emphasis Week. And during the course of his time there, he was going to speak to a group of pastors, 400 of them. I wanted to see what 400 pastors looked like, and so I went to listen to Dr. Grebner. I remember that at the very beginning of his address, he said, "Gentlemen, I want to challenge you with a thought. Are you sure that you are preaching the law-free gospel?" And then he went on to say, you know how easy it is, and he used the words of Ivory Snow. There are those of people in the church who believe that Jesus has done 99 and 44 100%. But we have to do the rest, that little bit more. And we are not able to do it. That professor was speaking to me. I could feel my legalistic thoughts going right out of my body. And I began to realize that Christ has done it all. But that doesn't mean that I should begin to live an extremely worldly life. Peter lists it here. You spend enough time of your life carousing around, detestable idolatry, and all of the rest. Now live for the Lord Jesus. And the longer that you live in harmony with him, the more he will put a desire into your heart that he is the one who is to be the Lord of your life. Now, having said all of this about the law, it is perhaps not our main problem today, for it seems that anything goes. Some teach that we can have an adjustable Christianity, whatever that is, that if it doesn't fit into our lives so that we are socially acceptable, we can move out a little bit. Peter writes against this thinking. God's Word says that when a person receives Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to make him or her a brand new person. The Christian is challenged to be clear-minded, our text says. Know where you're going. Understand the faith. Study the Word of God so that you'll have a real, complete understanding and will be clear-minded when you share the Word with those round about you. If you're a Christian, you'll be growing in self-control. Tempers can fly, and we can still bear the name of Jesus Christ. But when we live with Him, those temper tantrums will become fewer and fewer and fewer. He goes on to say, we are to love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that important? That I can reach out and love some person who does not necessarily love me, who can snub me, who can turn their back on me, whatever else it may be. That's real love. That's where Jesus wants us to grow. Not only to say that our sins are forgiven, but I really love that person. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Today we hear a great deal about social action, feeding the hungry, clothing those who are starving. And God knows that Jesus was very specific on this matter. But it also tells us that he is really anxious to let us know that that kind of love, that kind of hospitality, just absolutely flows because Christ lives within us. Take your home. What are we doing with these big, beautiful homes in our day? Many of them stand empty. And so a friend comes. And isn't it nice to be able to say, why don't you stay with us tonight? We could have a good time and have breakfast together in the morning before you get on the way. You don't want to go sit in a cold hotel room, as nice as it may be. But here is the comfort of our home. I had a friend who once told me that he didn't know how many times in a year his mother took somebody else in, not knowing them very well, but realizing that they needed a night's sleep. Would we ever think of that today? Each one should use his gifts to serve others. How is that done? That's stewardship. That's reaching out to the people who are hurting badly. There are so many people who are suffering. There are so many people who have lost loved ones. Recently I heard of a young soldier, just died of a brain tumor, 26 years old. Stop and think of the hurt that there must be in that family, that home. There, Jesus says, is where we grow in grace and holiness. It doesn't save us to go to that person's house. It doesn't save us to bring him other acts of kindness. But because we belong to him, that's what we'll want to do. Faithfully administer God's grace in all of its various forms. rather than to be condemning, rather than to be shortening our conversation with people because they don't think like us, deal with them according to God's grace. And when you do, well, Peter says there may be those who will really chew you out. You didn't used to be this way. And then you got religion. And now look what you are. We don't have the good times we used to have. And then you can say, Jesus Christ forgave me, but Jesus Christ changed my life. Because you see, Christians who are growing in Christ live lives that are different. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have saved us. But grant, O Lord, that that salvation may have so turned us around that we are these new people, not perfect, but growing in our relationship with you. Grant that individuals who are outside of the faith may look at individual Christians and may look at the congregation and see that something is happening there and then run to find it. We know, O God, that there is in the hearts of many people an empty place. And it is not just to join another organization, but it is that place where they can come and receive a message, the message of the gospel and the law which brings us to the gospel. But today, may we also have a clear understanding of what the law is all about, that we do not try to mix it up with man's rabbinical stipulations, their little sub-laws that they make to protect the law of God. That law will speak for itself. Grant us grace to take it as it is. And so we commit ourselves into your care and your keeping, praying your blessings to rest upon those who are sick. Be with those who are dying. Be with those families, O God, who have had to bury a loved one, whether young, middle-aged, or old. It is hard, God. Even if we know where they're going, it is hard. Be with them. And so we join this day in praying together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon has brought you peace and joy. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts to Christian Crusaders can be given to commemorate a very special person on their birthday, anniversary, or other occasion. We thank those who have honored the memory of someone special with a gift to Christian Crusaders, allowing us to continue bringing the gospel message to thousands of listeners each week. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or you may call our office to find out more at 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders publishes both a weekly email newsletter and a quarterly print newsletter to bring new information to our listeners. The weekly e-newsletter contains a preview of the upcoming program, while the printed newsletter, called The Crusader, contains a special article by Reverend Larson and thoughts on faith and life from other members of our staff. Please call our office to join our mailing list. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday for the past 75 years.